Welcome back. We'll continue our study of John chapter 6 today, and we'll cover verses 41 to 51. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And we'll also cover verses 52 to 59, where Jesus speaks even more strongly about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. These two sections are closely related, so it is best to study them together. As always, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. I want to refer again to 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. God has given us his spirit so that we can understand the things of God and can understand the things he's freely given to us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts today, teach us and speak to us. Open the eyes of our hearts and minds so that we can receive your words, which are life. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Okay, let's look at verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" We see again that those listening to Jesus were evaluating and analyzing through human logic and reasoning. When Jesus said that he came down from heaven, they said, "Well, we know his mother and father, Joseph. He grew up here. How can he say he came down from heaven?" Verse 43, Jesus said, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus told them to stop grumbling and that no one could come to the Father unless the Father draws them. We cannot lead people to faith through human logic and persuasion alone. Unless the Father opens a person's heart and shines his light into them, they cannot believe. Jesus went on to say that he would raise us up at the last day. He repeated several times in this passage. People all around the world have a sense of eternity in their hearts. They know that this life is not the end, and most people also have a sense that there will be a day of judgment after we die. This is true of many people who are not believers and who have never studied the Bible. People know that this life is not the end and that there will be a final judgment. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." How should this change our understanding of evangelism? It's one of the meditation questions. Well, I think we should be aggressive and bold in sharing the gospel with people. However, we must understand that our preaching abilities or evangelism strategies won't work unless we work with the Father and share the gospel with others. Thus, we should be Father-focused in evangelism. We should be much more sensitive and attentive to listening to God, number one, and trusting him to do his work in people's hearts so that they can believe. We do our part and God does his part in evangelism. I think we should boldly share the gospel with people because it's true. We should do our best to communicate well, but believe that God is working in the lives of the people we share with. Let us, in faith, ask people to respond to the Lord who is calling them to himself. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is a promise. Let us be spirit-led in evangelism and focused on the Father's work in people's lives. Paul described his ministry in 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5. He said, "My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me." That's verse 45. In this verse, Jesus paraphrased Isaiah chapter 54:13 to emphasize that his teaching was consistent with the Old Testament. verse 45, John 6:45 says, it quotes from Isaiah 54:13, and they shall all be taught by God. This restates the truth of verse 44 in different terms. Those who come to saving faith do so because God supernaturally instructs them. He opens their minds and hearts so that they can understand and receive the gospel. The point is clear. Only those who have heard and learned from the Father come to Christ. Father, make us sensitive to how you are working in people's lives and teach us how to join you in your work when we share the gospel with others. Verse 46, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Notice how Jesus said he came down to heaven several times. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus repeated, I am the bread of life in verse 48, and I am the living bread coming down from heaven in verse 51. Why did Jesus repeat this so many times? I think he repeated many of these statements several times so that there would be no misunderstanding, that everyone would understand clearly his claims. Jesus said, I came from the Father and have seen the Father. Number two, whoever believes in me has eternal life. Number three, I am the bread of life. Number four, I am the living bread from heaven. Number five, whoever eats this bread will live forever. And number six, this bread is my flesh. These are very serious and fantastic statements about who Jesus is and how he can bless us. The Jewish leaders, however, were angry and offended by these words. It seems clear by comparing verse 47 and 51 that we eat the bread, Jesus' flesh, by believing him. Verse 52 says, I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Verse 47, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. We eat and receive Jesus by believing him. This does not mean believing doctrines about Christ or having a one-time experience of believing Jesus for salvation. We believe in Jesus and receive his life daily by trusting him, walking with him, and obeying him. Now we're going to continue into the next section, John 6:52-59, eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. These statements have been very confusing and sometimes misinterpreted, but I think they're very clear. Verse 52, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? The Jewish leaders were troubled and upset when Jesus talked about eating his flesh. Again, they analyzed and interpreted his words through their intellect and logic. They had no insight from the Spirit of God. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. It seems like Jesus was making a radical statement that he knew would anger them. I think Jesus wanted to say it so strongly, even though he knew many people would react and walk away, because he wanted to make it clear to everyone that his plan and promise is to live in human beings, not just to promote good moral principles or Bible teachings. These claims were and still are radical thoughts. The Jewish leaders reasoned that Jesus was talking about some form of cannibalism because they were not connected or open to the Spirit's work. They thought Jesus was talking about eating his physical flesh. That is one reason they were so offended. Of course, Jesus was not talking about eating his physical flesh. He was talking about living by his indwelling life. Jesus stated this in different ways. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, he said. he probably could not have said anything more offensive to the Jewish leaders. But the point is clear. We have no life apart from his indwelling life, because his body was crucified for us, and he shed his blood for our sins to be forgiven. We can live in a love relationship with him. But this is not a relationship of God up there in heaven, far away from this earth. No, he lives in us. We have no life apart from him. We cannot live righteously without his indwelling life. Jesus wants everyone to get this. Jesus repeated the same theme in verse 55, "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink." Jesus said, "My flesh is real food and real drink." He was not talking about the physical, but about spiritual realities. He said in verse 56, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me." We remain and stay connected to him by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This means we feed on him continually and receive his life by trusting him. We constantly acknowledge that he is our life and hunger for his indwelling presence. We have no life or righteousness apart from him. Verse 56 is the first mention in this gospel of mutual indwelling. Jesus lives in us, and we live in him. This is Jesus' core teaching. Verse 57, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said that he came down from heaven seven times in John 6. This claim, along with saying, "I am the bread of life," and that anyone who feeds on this bread will live forever, were radical and unthinkable to the Jewish people who were listening to him. To them, these were statements of a madman or a lunatic. Why did Jesus speak these words that sound so radical and even offensive to the natural mind? Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that living by his indwelling presence is not optional. It's the main point. Jesus was not offering bread to satisfy our desire to eat. He did not come to bless people with bread so they could be satisfied and happy apart from him. They wanted people to grasp that he himself is the center of everything he taught. He offers his indwelling life, not doctrines, methods, or theologies. Following Jesus, being his disciple, depends entirely on eating his flesh and drinking his blood daily. He is our life. Apart from him, we can do nothing. 59. Jesus said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Verse 60. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" So this was one of the meditation questions. Why did many people turn away and stop following Jesus? Why do you think Jesus made this hard statement about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Does this offend you? Jesus referred to eating his flesh in John multiple times. In John 6. Certainly, Jesus knew that the people would not understand what he meant when he said that he is the bread of life. He knew that many would process his words through their natural minds and interpret them only through their intellect. In the end, this is why many decided not to follow Jesus. Today, many promote Jesus as a means of blessing and happiness. Yes, we'll be very blessed and find great happiness if we follow him. But the message is misguided if people think they can get blessings and happiness without his indwelling life. This was not Jesus' message. Jesus wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. He wants us to continue and live by his indwelling life. This is the main point Jesus was emphasizing in this passage. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the bread of life, to us. Thank you that you give us real food and real drink. Thank you, Jesus, for indwelling us and living your life through us. May each person doing this study feed on you and overflow with your life daily. Now, I'm going to just add a little bonus section here, some thoughts about communion. Many have used John 6 in teachings about communion. Some of these teachings are confusing, and some are based on church traditions rather than on the Bible. In many churches, communion focuses on the ceremony while sitting in a church building. I'm not saying that communion services in church buildings are wrong, but often they miss the point. The point is not to have a weekly ceremony or to follow a fixed liturgy. The point is Jesus. The purpose of taking communion together is to commune with Jesus at all times, not just during the ceremony. The point is not the physical act of drinking wine or eating bread. The purpose is that we receive the life of Jesus into our being through the grace of the cross by faith. We can commune with Jesus 24/7. We can eat his flesh and drink his blood and experience his dwelling life 24 hours a day. This is the purpose of communion.